So for Parshas Hazinu, Parshas Tazria, excuse me, I thought we would start an experiment. I always like to experiment. And this is a sefer called Pshuto Shel Mikra. Are you familiar with it? I don't know if we ever got a chance to open it here in this holy glide. But it's a book written by Rav Yehuda Kuperman, Zichron Levracha. He passed away just about 2 months ago. And he does an analysis of Torah Shebichsav, that's his spetz, based on what he calls Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Gemara says that Ein Mikra Yotze Mide Pshuto. And very often Chazal reinterpret the Pasuk in such a way that you wonder, where's the Pshuto Shel Mikra? In this particular article, he chose as his topic Drachecha Darchei Noam. And what he's going to try to do is first go to the Rishonim and look at their commentaries on the Torah, and then he's going to go to the later commentaries, especially his famous and his favorite is the Meshech Chochma of the Or Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk, and trying to analyze the Psukim and answer questions in the Psukim based on the principle of Drachecha Darchei Noam. This is a principle that was formulated by Shlomo HaMelech in Sefer Mishle, and it teaches us that the ways of the Torah are pleasant. The Gemara uses it, for example, in Masechta Sukkah to decide questions about the Dalad Minim. There were issues whether it's, this is called Arve Nachal, this is called Priyetz Hadar, and so forth and so on. And the Gemara says that there's certain prickly growth, vegetations, that the Torah could not ask you to take that because it would violate the principle of Drachecha Darchei Noam, because you're grabbing onto something that has thorns and you're going to push it, rip into your skin. But although the Chazal used Drachecha Darchei Noam in a halachic sense to determine halachas, we find it a chiddush. It's a little bit new that we can implement that program in order to answer questions of pshat, that the text of the Torah in Torah Shebichsav was also written in a way that would reflect this principle. Now, in a previous article that we did a few weeks ago, he establishes that one of the fundamental principles of Pshuto Shel Mikra is what Seder HaPsukim. In other words, if the Torah is presenting a mitzvah, it's got to be in some sort of logical order. And if something is out of place, ze omer darshein. And the Mefarshim are going to try to explain why it's there. For example, in the case of Ola, so the example was that the Torah starts with Ola, and normally a Karban Ola is what's called a Behemas Ola, and only when the Torah gets to Oph, where there's something called an Olas Oph, only there does the Torah say that the Shechita has been B'Tzafon. Now Tzafon, the north, is a requirement in every single Karban Ola. It doesn't matter whether it's Olas Behema, Olas Chai, Olas Oph, whatever Ola it is. Mm-hmm. So why did the Torah, we discussed it? I don't remember.
I'm not sure. It came up.
So why did the Torah wait until Olas Oph in order to present?
By its own, perhaps.
Yeah, also we discussed the by its own, and that had to do with Akedah Yitzchak and so forth and so on. But here, he quotes Rabbeinu Bechai. And Rabbeinu Bechai here in Parshas Tazria is focused on the Seder, on the sequence in which the Torah presents the three main categories of Mitzora. There's what's called Tzaras HaGuf, that affects the body of a person. There's tzaras habgodim, that afflicts the clothing of a person. And there's tzaras habayis, where you see a nega on the bayis. And the Torah goes through great detail to describe all the requirements and the kohen and so forth and so on. Now, the Chazal have a principle which goes the following. That when a man is in violation of a sin, all of Tzaras, that's not for now, but that's a whole other discussion, all of Tzaras is metaphysical. It should not be identified with biological, pathological phenomenon for which you need a dermatologist. That's not what Tzaras is about. Tzaras is a divine punishment for specific sins. And But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he starts with, you know, he starts afflicting the sinner with the lower echelon affliction, and then if the sinner refuses or fails to do tshuva, then he gets afflicted with a more severe punishment of tzaras, until finally you reach what's called tzaras haguf. That's the ultimate level of tzaras, and hopefully at that point the man will do tshuva. And therefore he says the following, based on the statement of Chazal, we would anticipate that when we open up the Chumash to Vayikra Perek Yudalit, Psukim Nun Dalit to Nun Vav, we should see the following sequence. We should first begin with the lowest level, which is called Tzaras HaBgadim, then move up to Tzaras HaBayis, where you have to destroy your whole house, and then finally, when the punishment has to be most severe, it would culminate in Tzaras HaGuf. Instead, what we have is just the opposite. In the sequence of the Psukim, the Torah actually starts with the most severe level of Tzaras, which is called Tzaras HaGuf, Se'es, Sapachas, Baharis, and all the above. Then it goes down to the next severe level, until finally it reaches the lowest level. Now, in the sequence in which God punishes you, there's been a reversal. So let's look at it inside. He says, Afal Pisha Kiblu Chazal, says the Rabbeinu Bachai, Chazal have a Kabbalah, and that's Emes. You know, he's not trying to undermine Chazal. And that tells us that first there's a punishment that's meted out to the bias, and then if he's not Mefashmish B'masov, then he gets punished in his Begadim, until finally he gets punished with Gufo, because in each case he wasn't Chozer B'tshuva, and therefore he didn't stop the process from getting more and more severe. However, Ein Sidur Hanyan Kein B'Parshis, if you open up the Chumash, we don't find that the sequence of the Psukim in the Chumash reflects what Chazal say, but rather the first parasha, which is called Nega Tzaras Kitiya Ba'adam, that's Tzaras HaGuf, is Vayikra Yud Gimel, that's number one on the list. Then it goes on to the parasha of Abeged Yia Bo Neged Tzaras, which is a little bit less severe, until finally it reaches the level of Tzaras Babayis, which is even in a different chapter entirely Nige Bat. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, Achsa HaTorah HaDerech HaZeh, why was the Torah, so to speak, compelled to present it thusly? V'hizkira tchila tzaras hagufis, it started with the most severe level of tzaras, v'yakach tzaras habgod, v'yakach tzaras habatim, l'fisha Torah kula drachea darchei noam, v'chol nesivoseh shalom. The Torah wants to be pleasant, its ways are pleasant. The Torah didn't want to present it in a way, oh no, you know, sort of pessimism. He's not going to do tshuva. We're going to have to hit him with a zap him with the more severe form of tzaras. And again, he didn't do tshuva, you know, building up to the most severe of all punishments. The Torah wanted to do it in a way which is a lot more positive, if you will. Let's get rid of, you know, let's clear the path of the more severe kind of punishments peronios, and then to the less, until finally we're optimistic that in the worst case scenario, you know, we have the lesser, and that's called holech umismait instead of holech v'godel. So again, holech v'godel is in fact true. He's not questioning the statement that underlies Chazal, that the punishments are brought in increasing increments till we finally attain the most severe punishment if he refuses and he's very stubborn to do tshuva. But nevertheless, when the Torah takes these ideas and presents them in Torah Shebichsav, it chooses the sequence that is most reflective of the principle of Drachea Darchei Noam. And that you'll see in the summary here in the paragraph that says, Klomar, Knei Hamido Shel Drachea Darchei Noam. The Knei Hamida means the system and the barometer, so to speak, of Drachea Darchei Noam, Hishpial Ofen Havas HaPurionius Bakosim, Shetiyena Min HaChomur El HaKal. You go from the more severe to the less severe. V'lo Chas V'Shalom, not the opposite, Min HaKal El HaKovet. And this is not the first time in his commentary on the Torah that Rabbeinu Bechai explains the Seder HaPsukim based on the principle of Zocher Tachinoah. And here, if you turn to the next page, we're going to rewind to Rabbeinu Bechai's interpretation of the parasha of the Mabul back in Bereishis Perek Zion.
I find it amazing that he says it's better, I guess, to hear bad news than good news. No,
in this case, it's better to hear bad news because we're hoping for better news until finally we get relatively the best news of them all. Let's see Rabbeinu Bechai in the Sefer Bereishis. It says, "Umina inyan azeh haya shalo lahazkir akosuv vayovo Elokim vayavei, excuse me, Elokim mabul ala aretz arba'im yom v'arba'im laila." He's implying a question: who brought about the mabul for 40 days and 40 nights in the first level? Obviously, it was God. And yet, the Torah doesn't specify the name Elokim. Again, I'm sorry, I don't have a chumash here. Maybe somebody could get me a chumash and we'll double check this. Thank you so much. He says, "Ki lo rotza lahazkir Hashem yisbarach bepuranus." Okay, thanks. Oh boy. Not so used to this chumash, but let's see if we can plow through this. Where is it exactly? Perek Zion, right? Okay, I see where they put the Zayin Yud Aleph. Oh, so the pasuk says, "Mea Mabul Hayalars." He tells what year it was. Kol Amaynos Tom Rabba Rubas Hashmaim Niftachu Vayageshem Ala Oretz Vayhi Amabul Arboim Yom Ala Oretz. Right? It doesn't say that Hashem brought the Mabul on the earth. Vayehi amabul, as if to say it was. And many of the Mefarshim have different interpretations of this, but Rabbeinu Bechai wants to suggest that the name of God is deliberately left out of the picture. Ki lo rotza lahazkir Hashem yisbarach bepuranios. Like, for example, the Mishnah, the Medrash says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyachid es shmo al ha-ra'a el al ha-tova." So you don't want to associate God with this bringing about the tremendous affliction and destruction of the world. Va'adavar yadua, again, this is Rabbeinu Bechai. Ki hu amevi. We understand that God is the one who brought about the mabul. And that we know from a pasuk that appears in the previous chapter, in Perek Vav, pasuk Yud Zayin. And there the Torah says that God says, I will bring the mabul. But that's only in the future tense. By me, God says, I hineni mevia samabul. I will bring the floodwaters to the earth to destroy man, to destroy all flesh. HaTorah, says Rabbeinu Bechai, asher kol drachei darchei noam v'chol nesivos ha-shalom, ko mishpata. This is the rule that dominates the decision of words and presentations in the verse of the Torah. Shetochna Hashem yisparach be'inyan ha-peronius v'lo tazkirena. That God will prepare us by telling us beforehand that He's going to bring about this peronios, because otherwise, if they don't do tshuva. But v'lo tazkirena, when it comes to the actual implementation of the peronios, God's name is left out. V'chein, and with this he wants to answer another question. In Pasuk of Zion, in the same chapter, the Torah says, Vayomach es kol hayikum. Vayimach. Where is it? Can you find it for me? Chaf Gimel. Here it says Chaf Zion. Okay, we'll have to make a correction here. I don't have a pen. It's Chaf Gimel, correct? So Pasuk Chaf Gimel, it says Vayimach es kol hayikum, and again it says Vayimach, that God destroyed the earth, blotted out all existence on the face of the ground, correct? But it doesn't mention God's name. But Vayimach, as if, so to speak, it happened. V'lo Omar, it should have said, Vayomach or Vayimach Elokim es kol hayikum. But God's name is omitted. Now he turns us back to Perek Gimel. He says, V'chein matzinu kasher henish li Adam v'chava. When God meted out punishment to v'chava, Omar kosev stam el ha'isha Omar. You know, it was, so to speak, spoken to her that, you know, Betzev told Ibanim and all the punishments thereof. And then it says, Uli Adam Omar, right? Kotz v'dada tatzmiya. V'lo hizke v'emes Hashem yisbroch v'kilolosam. God's name is obliquely, you know, high profile, omitted from the parsha. Avol v'midas rachmanis. And then he goes and gives you many examples where Hashem is bestowing compassion on man, and there God's name is always mentioned. And therefore, Rabbeinu Bechai explains, back in Bereishis Aleph, it says, Vayikra Elokim la'or yom. Now watch this. Ulechoshech karalaila. It doesn't say, it should have said, Vayikra Elokim la'or yom. And it should have said, Vayikra Elokim la'choshech laila. So again, you can give many answers to that question. But what's fascinating is Rabbeinu Bechai's answer, that when it comes to R, God's name is explicitly mentioned. But when it comes to Choshech, which refers symbolically at least to the lack of radiance and light, there God's name is omitted. So we see that Rabbeinu Bechai very consistently applies the principle of Docheh Dachei Noam to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra. Now we're going to fast forward to the Gdolei Achronim. As I said at the outset, we're going to talk about the Meshech Chochma. So in this case, the Meshech Chochma wants to answer a question at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Max, you want to do me a favor and just find it for me, or are you benching? I don't want to disturb you. So it's Beis Yudalit. Okay. Okay. Now, the general rule, which is the background for this discussion, is that when Hashem designates in the context of Kodshim gifts to be given to the Kohanim, the Torah explicitly mentions the Kohanim. And what bothers the Meshech Chochma is that there are a few exceptions to the rule and the Kohanim are left out. They're completely omitted. Okay, so for example, in this parasha of Vayikra Beis, starting from Pasuk Yudal to the end of that parasha, the Imsakriv Minchas Bikurim Lashem, etc., etc. And the Torah doesn't say Vehanosar. Now, what's going on here is that most of the Mincha is brought on the Mizbeach. Then there's something called Mosar HaMincha, the last parts, which are left over. And what the Meshech Chochma points out is the Torah doesn't say V'anoseres min ha-mincha li'aron ulebonav. Okay, so let's take a look here in Perek Beis. What pasuk were we looking at? Yudal. So let's look at the beginning of Perek Beis. Maybe we'll find this here. And it says here, Ve'via el b'nei Aaron according to Seretz. Okay, this is the avoda of the mincha. The komatz, fine, that's what the kohanim have to do. And then it says, "Vanoseres min amincha li Aaron ulebonav."
As long as it's still a mincha solus.
It's a mincha solus here.
Yeah.
Excellent. And therefore, it's given to Aaron and his children. But yet, elsewhere, he says the Torah doesn't mention Aaron.
Because it's Aaron.
What do you say?
Because where it's not mentioned, where it's Solomon.
Exactly, because that would be a p'chisa kovet. That's what he wants to say. Are you already at the end of the paragraph? Okay. V'chein b'minchas sota. Now, the minchas sota is made of siorim. It's made of barley. V'parashas naso. There, too, the kohanim are not mentioned. V'ayin b'bavli reish v'yelu menachos. He tells you to look in the Gemara in Menachos, on the Mishnah of V'yelu menachos nikmatzos v'shireihem la kohanim. So the Mishnah says that the shirayim are given to the Kohanim. Yishalmi and Sota again has the same language. He says, Lamdu midrashos. The fact that the Shirayim goes to the Kohanim are learnt through Torah Shebal Peh. They're not explicit in Torah Shebichsav. Lo kosva Torah beferish. The Torah doesn't say explicitly. Says the Meshech Chochma, Mishum desaorim machel behema. Again, in our context today, I don't know. People eat a lot of things that are made out of barley, you know. But barley was considered a lower, you know, a lower level. It was given, designated for the animals. Is Chasa HaTorah, the Torah had sort of like compassion, Lichto, to write explicitly, she is chalikli Aaron Ulubanov. She'enam in HaKovet Liten Lehem. It's not covered to give them Siorim. The Chasa Hashem Yisrael HaKovet Abrios. Yoser mi kavod ha-mizbeach. Notice when it comes to the mizbeach, the Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't.
It says that you put
the meat on the mizbeach. And the Torah says we're talking about barley, and the Torah doesn't blink about that. You know, it's when Kaddish Baruch Hu's kavod is involved, he's, so to speak, he's very mochel on his kavod. But for the kavod of the Kohanim, again, it's a very sensitive and edel point here, very subtle point. Now, Rav Kupperman in the next two paragraphs, he wants to use this derech and explain the parasha of Yibum. You know that if the Yavam, after the death of his brother died without children, refuses to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Yavam, of Yibum, there's an entire ceremony, an entire process called Chalitza, and in the Chalitza there's halacha of Kriyas HaChalitza, Kriyas HaParsha. Now if you look carefully in the Torah, this is in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, then the Torah uses two different words to describe the Kriya of the Yavama and the Kriya of the Yavam. When she declares in front of the court, Lo Ava Yavami, the choice is of words, Yibmi, Lo Ava Yibmi, it's Ava. Take a look at that word Ava. Ava means he didn't want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yibum. Then, when the Yavam speaks in the very next pasuk, his declaration is Lo Chafatzti Lakachta. Now, these two words, Ava and Chafetz, are really synonymous. They're interchangeable. But why change the language? They're both really saying the same thing. Either the Torah could have been consistent, and she, the Yavam, would have also said Lo Chafetz Lakachti, using the word Chafetz, or he should have said, Lo avisi yivama. I didn't really want to marry her. Why the change between Ava and Chafetz? And, I'm not sure if I was able to photocopy for you all the pages of this article. You only have two pages, okay. Here, take a look, see if you can follow that. I'm sorry, I apologize. It's been a crazy day today because I'm filling in for my Marcus today. So that was an hour and a half of shiurim. Then I give my Chumash class. And then I did Nichum Avelim. I don't know if anybody knows the Sandlers, Evan and Yochana. So Yochana lost her father 24 hours after she gave birth. And her mother's sitting in Petah Tikva. So she had 3 hours today that she was sitting on what's the name of the street? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Street. So I only until 12:30, so I came to you straight from the Beis Ovel. Didn't get a chance to photocopy the whole article. In any event, what page are we up to?
Reish Lamed Zayin.
Reish Lamed Zayin. Oh, Nira Lefarish. This is a very interesting idea I wanted to share with you. The cash itself is interesting. He says the following. This is the principle of Drachei Darchei Noam. Why? He says that the word chefetz is different than the word ava in the following sense. Chefetz means a desire that is a result of an intellectual decision. Okay? He says, chefetz mitzayen ratzon onetia mishicha lo sichlit kimrikshit. Oh, I said it the wrong way. So that chefetz means that he had some sort of a draw. You know, I was drawn to do this. That's not an intellectual decision. That's an emotional kind of decision. Ava, on the other hand, means shikul das tahar. That is purely an intellectual decision. He says, Lekicha, the word Lekicha here in the Pasuk, because it says, Lo chafatzti lekacha, right? I didn't want to marry her. That's his declaration, the Yavam. Mitzayenet maisa kiddushin. Right? Ki yikach ish isha. Lekicha is marriage. That's a legal entity. Beod, whereas Yavam, the word Yavam, mitzayin kimuvan mitzvas yibum, the mitzvah of yibum, which is consummated by the relationship that they have, velo maisa kiddushin. It doesn't indicate the act of kiddushin. There is no kiddushin by Yavam. Lachen, lo hoya ze min darche noam litzavot ala isha lomar shehi lo matzachen bi'ene gisa. Now, it's if she would have declared that lo chafetz yivami, that he doesn't want to marry me, that would indicate that, you know, he was turned off, so to speak, if I could use a modern language. Lachain, therefore, just give me a minute to finish the paragraph, because again, it's a little complicated, we'll get it. Lachain, hirak moseret, she just testifies, so to speak, declares, shehu eino muchan lekayem et mitzvah sayibum hamutelas alav. Okay? And that's called lo ova yivami. Lo ova means he made a decision. I'm not going to go into details why. He didn't like my nose or whatever else. He decided not to be mekayem the mitzvah. But for him to make the same declaration, that would be insulting to him. That would be almost an admission, a confession on his part that he doesn't want to do the mitzvah. Meidoch ein ze midarkei noam litzavos al adam lomar sheino muchan lekayem mitzvah Hashem. Bimkom zeu toein, you know what? I just can't do it. It doesn't click for me. Shegisato einam otzeit chen veinav. You know, you could go out on a shidduch date once, twice, thrice, four times, but you know, it could be the greatest, you know, the greatest guy, but or the greatest girl, but it just didn't click. You know, so that's not an insult to him that he, you know, his brother married her. He didn't marry her. So again, it would be insulting to her to say that he didn't want to marry me. Right? He was just rikshit. He was turned off. And it would be insulting to him to say that I don't want to be Makai in the midst of Hashem. So in order to be respectful, so to speak, to both of them, the Torah uses two languages. She basically declares lo ova yivami. He didn't want to fulfill the mitzvah. And he declares, not that I don't want to fulfill the mitzvah, but lo matzachen bi'ena. Now we're looking at the Meshech Chochma in Breishis Chavav on the Pasuk Vayiven Yitzchak Sham Mizbeach, and he writes, Hine Inyan Binyan HaMizbeach HaYilafarseim HaNevuah O HaNes, the place where they built an altar, that's where they would publicize a miracle or a prophecy, a message that they wanted to convey. Ashal Ze Bona Mizbeach V'hine B'machzah Rishon, in the original appearance of Hashem in a prophetic vision, back in Pasuk Dalet at the beginning of this perek, Asher Hanavua Hoisa Sheirashu Vizaro. The essence of that prophecy was that he and his offspring would inherit as Kol Harotzos Ha'el. That Nevuah lo pirsem osa. We don't find that it was followed by the building of a mizbech. Ki hayam mipachad, hayam afachad. He was afraid mipnei Yoshev Haaretz to make this public announcement and declaration that he and his children, his offspring, would inherit the land. Pentechra kin osam bo. Maybe he would incite their jealousy. V'Yitzchak lo nilcham yomav. We never find that Yitzchak was engaged in any sort of military confrontation. The ode ki haya neged darchei musar. This would do injustice to the sensitivity that we have to have for a person. Asher anshe aretz shlemim heim ito. The yabit linchol artsam. Imagine if these people were good to him and they treated him very well, and now he's going to turn around and say, you know what? I'm going to inherit your land. That's not something that he wanted to declare. So back at the beginning of this parasha, we don't find that Yitzchak built a mizbeach to publicize the substance of the nevuah. So let's just open up for a second to see this inside. It's like Osios Machkimos in Perek Chav Vav. And now we're in Parshas Toldos. Let's see if we can find the pasuk here. It says, "Vayiven shom mizbech vayikra b'shem Hashem." He calls out in the name of Hashem. Vayet shom o'alo. So here in the Nevuah, Hashem shows up in Pasuk Chavdal, Valayli appears to him at night. Anochi Elokei Avraham Avicha, Al tira ki itcha anochi raticha verbesi azaracha b'avur Avraham avdi. And this is God's promise to him that he will be able to flourish in the land. And indeed he redigs the wells that his father had dug, but the Plishtim had covered them over. And that pirsum has no, you know, in no way does it undermine the local people, insult them, and undermine his relationship with them. Now, what we'd like to study is the Meiri's Hakadoma to Sefer Tehillim. Again, we're going to see how the Derech Musar reflects itself in a dibur yashir, what we call a direct speech, when you address someone in the first person. So the Miri writes, "Vehu Omro," knows Hashem spoke to Shmuel, "Al Yishai Beis Halachmi," with regard to Yishai, who came from Beis Lechem, "Ki Ra'isi Bebonav Li Melech. I have seen amongst his sons a king for me." V'yafal pishekvar kara nagid gamkein v'ubi amro Shmuel l'shaul b'kish Hashem ish kilvavo v'yitziveu l'nagid zemi derech ha-musa shalo l'haricho l'fonav b'yeser mimenu. In other words, when Hashem is talking through Shmuel to Shaul HaMelech, he calls David, or alludes to David as the Nugid. But later on, when Hashem, through Shmuel, is addressing Yishai, it's Ra'isi Banavli Melech. What's the difference between a Nugid and a Melech? Shaul, insofar as the kingship was not his for all of posterity, he could be called a nugget on a low level. If you want to refer to someone who would replace or inherit the throne from Shaul, you'd call that person a nugget if you want to keep them on the same level. But to evaluate or describe David as a melech, that would be greater than Shaul himself. That would be very insensitive and insulting to Shaul. But when the Navi is talking to Yishai, that's a different story. There he can tell him that one of his sons was chosen as a melech. Now the Meshech Chachma, again, getting back to the Meshech Chachma, he's going to determine in the style of the way the Torah is written, the Torah Shebech Sav, through the principle of Drachei Darchei Noam, something more than just the presentation or the style, but even to go as far as to explain the reasoning for mitzvos. The Meshech Chachma is going to implement in a very unique, original way the principle of Drachei Darchei Noam. And therefore, in the mitzvah of Pirya V'Rivya, he asks the famous question why women are exempt from the mitzvah of Pirya V'Rivya. And he answers this question by activating the principle of Drachei Darchei Noam. Mishpatei Hashem u'drachav Darchei Noam kol nisim sham v'lo omsa al Yisraeli masha ein biyecholos haguf lekabel. Meaning, if the makeup of man is such that his body would just break down as a result of a mitzvah, that the Torah doesn't demand. We find the Gemara in Chulin that says that anything that the Torah gave that's Isur, the Torah gave something parallel to replace it that's Heter. And the Gemara goes into detail about there's in Nida you have Dam Toar, in Chelev Behemi you have Chelev Chaya, in the case of Akusis you have Eshes Yifas Toar. All this is called Rachel Darchei Noah. Umishum Zeh. Lo Matzanu Lis Anos Chak Yom Echad Veshana. As far as the Torah law is concerned, you fast one day out of the entire year, that's Yom Kippur. The Kodem, his Hira, the Chiva Lechel, and the Torah goes ahead and says the day before Yom Kippur, your fast day, you have a mitzvah to eat. The Torah never prohibited a woman from her husband on an ongoing basis, except for Moshe Rabbeinu Lefi. Shalu hayat sarach legodel ma'losel ziris gufo. Only in the case of Moshe, lo, he needed that because of his great level of panim b'panim and so forth and so on, therefore he needed to be parish from his wife. Oh, how does this apply to the fact that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah period? Rivia says the Meshech Chachma that Noshim mistaknos be'ibur v'leda. The process of pregnancy, and certainly how much more so the process of birth, involves sikun. Sikun means a danger to their lives. Childbirth has an element of danger to it. Again, at different times and in different situations, that danger is either greater or less, but there's always some element of danger. We've heard such terrible stories about women who died in Nebuchadnezzar in childbirth, Rachmana Litzlan. And therefore the Gemara tells us that Misa Shchicha, Tosus applies this principle of Misa Shchicha in the case of Leda, is therefore lo gazra Torah lifos v'libros ala isha. A woman wasn't obligated to put her life into danger for the sake of the mitzvah, period of Arivia. And here he's getting into Tamei HaMikra, Tamei HaMitzvah. Why is it that the Torah exempted a woman from this mitzvah? And the answer is because of Drachel Darchei Noam. Unbelievable chiddush of the Meshech Chochma. It's not based in any way on any source that we have. It's pure chiddush, his own creative mind. But it's all based on the fact that the Torah is Darchei Noah. The Meshech Chochma in Vayikra in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, where it says V'roah Kohen, it's a nega V'roah Kohen. The Meshech Chochma points out what is obvious in the Pasuk. It says V'roah Kohen twice, both at the beginning Varoa Kohen and then Varoa Kohen. Why the double language? Why the repeat? And he tells you to look in the Torah's Kohen in the Sifra on Parshas Tazria, and there it says Varoahu. That's the second time it says Kulo Ka'achas Imayu Barosh Chodmo Shofea V'holech Helech V'helech Barosh Etzbo Shofea Hiluch Heluch Eino Tomei. In other words, the Sifra says, Ra'eu, he has to see the entire nega, the nega in its entirety, not piecemeal. However, Rabbeinu HaMeshech Chochma says, Ra'eu refers to the ish, but not to the nega. You should see the ish and not to the nega. Okay? V'tochein al derech razal, Shehakavana, when it says v'roa koines anega, sheyiras anega im hi reuili tome. At the beginning of the pasuk, it says the kohen will see the nega and decide whether this might be this really should be identified as tumas negoim. Sheyesh ba siman tuma sa'ar lovan. It has the siman tuma. Then it says at the end of the pasuk v'roa koin hu sheyira koin al ha'ish. Im roi litamoso. Ah, interesting. We're talking now not about the chefts of the nega, that's the first re'iyah, but the second re'iyah is the gavra who has this phenomenon, has this manifestation of what might be mitzora. And the kohen now, even if in the first re'iyah he decided, well, there's simoni tomo, there's seir lovan, but nevertheless he has to now shots up the gavra in the second re'iyah of Varoa kohen. V'ra'ahu, it says him, meaning the person. And then afkamina is him chasanu, if he's a chasan during his shivas yimei mishteh, then the process of hezger to be metameim is postponed till after shivas yimei mishteh v'chein beregel. What if it's a holiday? What are the shloshes regalim? Nosno kol yimos haregel. Shalola arbev simcha. So we don't want to undermine and mar his joy. Udrachel dachei noam. And therefore the V'ra'ehu at the end of the Pasuk is totally different than the vera'ah hakoinis haneg at the beginning of the pasuk. That's not something that was obvious. Echu b'echuso imu roi l'fias man l'tumoso. In other words, we're no longer asking if the negas roi l'tumoso, the second vera'ah, but is the person, according to the time period, ready, and does he lend himself to be tamei b'tumas tzaras? And that's why the pasuk adds ubiyom heros. In other words, you have to know about the day, whether the day itself lends itself to tumah. But in any event, we see clearly that he's applying his principle drachei darchei noam to explain what seems to be an extra word in the pasuk, and explain that we have to be very, very careful before we determine if someone is a mitzora to evaluate the person himself. Like the example he gave is the case of a chassan. The Sefer HaChinuch also, in a similar approach, that the sensitivity to a person really is what underlies a mitzvah, wants to explain what happens. This is mitzvah Shinayin Vav, in the case of a nazir who's not allowed to be mitami to a mess. Harea Kohen Hejot Shigam Hu Kosh Mitami Bohem. Oh, what's the case? Can a Kohen violate the Issur Tumah for the sake of the burial of one of his seven relatives? There's one kind of Kedusha which is automatic. In other words, it's engendered through birth itself. He didn't accept upon himself that sublime and intense level of Kedusha of Kohuna. He was born into that Shevet, like it or not. And therefore, Hanagaso im Krovov Kechol Shar B'nei HaOlam. He's allowed to bury his relatives, one of his relatives who died, just like anyone else could bury that person. Gein Chiluk B'nei Isha Kohen L'Shara Am. There's no difference in this context between a Kohen and the rest of the nation. Zulase Ki'im Le'itim Yavod Beis Elokov. The only exception between a Kohen and the rest of Klal Yisrael is the time periods in which this Kohen has to serve in the Beis Elokim and the Beis HaMikdash. The Omar, the Omnam Le'asid, Gamken Yishkon Behechal, the Yogel Im Oavav, Ulesimcho Le'mishte Yikra Reav Ukrovav. Al Kain Yiches Yicham Levav Alehem Vegam Heim Olav Umivneze Hirshal Litomilehem Ki Drachea Darchinom Vechol Nesivoseh Shalom. What I think the Sefer HaChinuch was trying to convey to us is that Kohuna is something that was thrust upon the Kohen. He never accepted upon himself. He was Kadosh Mi Beten Imo. And how does he interact with his relatives? Well, when he's in the Beis Elokim, he doesn't have much of an opportunity for being mesameach and partying and drinking together with his friends and all the merriment and joy. But nevertheless, there are periods of time where he's not serving in the Beis Elokim, and he develops a relationship with his krovim that's equal to any person who's got an attachment and a love for his krovim. And what that means is that le'itim, he, instead of being the heichal Hashem, he's in the heichal of his ovav, his krovim, besimcho, b'mishte. And therefore he has an attachment emotionally to them and a relationship with them, just like anyone has a relationship with his relatives. And therefore, when Chas V'Shalom, one of his relatives dies, his heart is completely, you know, overwhelmed by despair and grief. And therefore, the Torah allowed the Kohen to experience this, and I don't know how you say it, to pent out, you know, to let out his despair and his despondency, his bereavement by burying his dead. And the Sefer HaChinuch in this mitzvah concludes his presentation by saying, Darchei HaTorah Noam V'chol Nesivoseh HaSholom. You'll find also, for example, in Rabbeinu Bechai, in our parashah in Vayikra Yud Aleph, Hizkir Shmona Shrotzim, in the parashah of Kashrus, the Torah mentions 8 Shrotzim, and it says, Eilat Meim Lachem. The serpent, the Nachash, is not mentioned. Why? Roy Hoy Vavada Shia Nachash Tomei Metame, Ki Ushorish Atuma Vazuamar. It's interesting that with regard to what's called Tumas Maga, when you have contact with one of the Shmona Shrotzim, the Torah Dafka left out the Nachash. Because in a situation where you know that you're going to become a Tameh, so you'll have an inherent kind of inhibition not to want to touch have contact with the Nachash in order to kill him, so you don't want to become Tameh. The Torah didn't want to impose upon you. The Nachash is a very dangerous animal. The Torah wants you to kill him. The Torah's not going to say, well, because of your contact with the Nachash, therefore you became Tameh. Now, for the balance of the Shia, depending upon how much time we have, I would like to discuss with you an insight of the Noam Elimelech into this entire parasha of Aaron HaKohen and his inherent relationship to bringing the korban on the very first day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. And this perhaps could explain the connection between Parshas Shmini that we read yesterday with the terrible tragedy of what happened on the first day when Aaron's children died, and Parshas Parah, which we read yesterday. And at the face of it, there does seem to be a contradiction between the two parshas. My high, where's the stira? In Bamidbar Yutes, which we read yesterday, Parshas Chukas, the Torah declares, Minasatem, Osel Aro Elozer HaKohen, V'otzi Osel Michutz L'mach V'shachar Osel Fanov. The entire process of preparing the Paraduma begins with Elazar HaKohen, who takes the para outside the macht and shechtzit. And Rashi says, why Elazar HaKohen? Lefisha Aaron osas ha'egel, lo nases ha'avoda hazu al yodo shein kategor, nases ha'negor. Aaron was the one who brought about he was the cause of the chet ha'egel. The paraduma is meant to be a mechaper kapara for the chet ha'egel. It's not fitting that the kategor, the accuser, or the prosecutor, in this case Aaron, should be the one to bring about this tahara and this kapara. That's called ein kategor nasanegor. That's as far as paradum is concerned. But when we take a look at our parsha Shmini, which opens with the tzivui to Aaron, kach lecha egel ben boka lechatos, v'ayeli olat mimim, v'akrev lifnei Hashem, is Rashi says, Kach lecha egel odia shemechapelo HaKadosh Baruch Yidei egel zel maisa egel. Then it's Dafka Aaron is going to bring the egel as a kapora for the cheta egel, and this doesn't make sense. What happened to Ein Kategor Nasa San Egor? And the Mizrahi gives an answer here that maybe Ein Kategor Nasa Kenedor only applies to Avoda Lifnai V'Lifnim inside the Heichal, but the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol and like the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, but other korbanos that are brought in the Azora outside the Heichal, for example, this korban at the beginning of Shmini Kakla Egel Ben Bokel Lechatos, that was not brought Lifnai V'Lifnim, and therefore there's no din of Ein Kategor Nasa Negor. But that really doesn't solve the problem, because the case of Paradum is also not a case of Lifnai V'Lifnim. It's done outside Michutz, and yet, despite that, the halacha of Ein Kategor Nasa Negor is indeed applied here. B'chalal, we don't understand why the opening pasuk in our parasha tells us about the Egel Ben Bar Kol Achatos, which is a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, we already had a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu, during the Zayin Yemei Miluim, brought a karbon to be mechaper on Aaron for the Chet HaEgel. And the pasuk says at the beginning of Perek Chavtes of Sefer Shmos, "V'zeh Adover Shartas Alehem Lekadesh Osam Lechayin Li Lekach Par Echad Ben Bachar," etc., etc. Rashi writes, "Par Echad Lechaper Al Maisa Egel Shupar." So there already was a kaparo brought earlier during the beginning of the Zayin Yemei Miluim on the part of Moshe for the Chet HaEgel. Why is it necessary for Aaron now to have his own private carbon chatos, which is brought kachacha egel as a kapara for the chet egel? And if there's already been a kapara right back in Shmos Chavtes, then why does Moshe have to command Aaron karev es hamizbeach, kravel hamizbeach, which Rashi says that Moshe saw that Aaron was hesitating. Hoya Aaron bosh v'yorei lo geshes. Aaron was afraid to come close to the Mizbeach. Omelo Moshe, Loma ata bosh. Why should you be inhibited? L'kach nivcharta. You were chosen for this, meaning as if to say this is your responsibility. And Rabbi Yonasan Ben Uziel in his Targum says that Aaron saw the Mizbeach and it looked to him like it was the corners were raised like horns, and he thought it resembled a calf. I mean, he had a whole psychological thing where this made him feel, nervous and ashamed about the Chet HaEgel. But he's already achieved the kapara of the Chet HaEgel. So what I wanted to share with you is the insight of the Noam Elimelech. You know that Paraduma is a plia. It's beyond even Shlomo Melech's understanding. And it has the status of mitayer es hatmeim umitame es hatorim. And according to the Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech Milozhinsk, the insight into this, al pi chassidus, is that when a person works very hard and he reaches a higher level, he does tshuva, he comes close to Hashem, he's miskarev to Hashem, all of a sudden, there's a phenomenon that repeats itself. He suddenly feels he's removed and distant from Hashem. He has not achieved his goals. And Chas Shalom, he can despair from this. Says the Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhinsk, no. This is all part of the divine plan. He has to understand that Hashem, out of love, is so to speak, distancing himself in order to project the person, energize him, to send him a message that as close as you are and as great of a level as you've achieved, you should redouble your efforts, achieve even greater closeness to Hashem. And this is symbolically represented by the Paraduma. Those who had come in contact with the Paraduma became Tamei. After all, this was all for the sake of purification. So why would they become Tamei? But rather, this is symbolic of tshuva. The whole process of tshuva requires that a person purify himself, and then when he gets closer to Hashem, he's really almost there with pure purity, but maybe that's beyond human grasp. All of a sudden he realizes Hashem sends him a message that in fact he's not pure. That's called the Metamei Es HaTaorim. But if you understand that, says the Noam Elimelech, you can understand Yirmiyahu HaNavi when he says, "Mirachok Hashem Nirali," meaning Nirali means it appears to me that I'm Rachok Mehashem. Hashem doesn't relate to me as, in terms of an accurate assessment of how great of a level I reached, how close to Hashem I achieved, close to Hashem. Instead, Hashem says, "You know what? I'm going to appear to you as I am Rachoka, as I am far away and distant." And that's going to project you and stimulate, motivate you to do even more and more tshuva, to redouble your efforts and intensity to do tshuva and to achieve true spiritual purity. And if that be the case, then maybe we understand what happened in the case of Aaron HaKohen. Surely Aaron HaKohen had already achieved the kapara. The kara was already brought by Moshe Rabbeinu during the Zayin Yemei Hamiluim, but yet Hashem organized it in such a way that Aaron would feel as if rechoka, as if I'm far away, then Hashem is like hide and seek. Why? Because Hashem wanted to teach Aaron to experience that kind of a busha. In other words, on the eighth day, which is the first day of Aaron serving as the Kohen Gadol, there's always a potential and an essence in the first day, in the beginning of anything, to set into stone the nature of that experience, that performance for all of posterity. And therefore it was critical. Yeah, ein kategi nasenega, that's true. And that should have applied here as well. But on the first avoda, it was absolutely necessary for Aaron HaKohen to perform this avoda. And not just as a historical event to begin the service of the Kohen, but more than that, it becomes that critical moment in which Aaron has a powerful, powerful impact on the Avodas HaKohanim for all Doros. Because Aaron achieves tremendous closeness to Hashem, but now Hashem says to him, you know what? There's more to go. Redouble your efforts. And that's perhaps what Moshe was saying to Aaron. You know, busha lekach nivcharta. What is this busha that Aaron experiences? Why does he see the mizbeach in the image of a calf and believe that he has not been forgiven? But the answer is because chatosi negdi tamid. A person, even though he did tshuva, he should always have feelings about the sin, and he should project himself to do more and more tshuva. Lekach nivcharta, because Aaron, you were chosen on this day to bring the carbon, despite the fact that ain't kateger nasener, because of the fact that you were ashamed, because of the fact that you saw in the mizbeach some sort of image of the egel. What it means is that Hashem is hinting to him, as the Noam Elimelech pointed out, as we said before, that Aaron has to feel the shame, because even though he did all his tshuva, he still feels, out of a sense of humility, of anava, a certain distance. And he's meant to serve this distance. That's all part of the deliberate divine scheme that is going to project him to elevated spiritual status even more and more and more. He, Aaron, was the ideal person to set the initiation of the Avoda for all generations, because he was the true Oved. The true, genuine Oved Hashem is the one who draws closer to Hashem, and yet he still realizes how far he is. That's what the Avoda of Hakrova of Karban is. Hakrov Milosh and Kiruv, to come closer to Hashem. And the Avoda Sakarbanis would be initiated in a way that would establish the right, correct, precise approach to Avodas Hashem, and that is the Avodas Hashem of Aaron, who with all his humility and boshes feels that he's still distant from Hashem. And Moshe says, Lomata bosh lekach nivcharta, that's why you are chosen. And now we begin to see the connection between the paraduma, that even when a person is seeking out Tara, he will still experience some tumah. There'll be a setback, but that's only because mirachok Hashem nearly. Hashem nearly means it appears to me as if rachok, as if you Hashem are distant from me, and that's not really true at all. And therefore this message for us, for all our generations, applies particularly in our time, because so many of us put so much effort into Avodas Hashem, yet we feel we are so distant, so far from our goals. We take one step forward and then two steps backwards. Our Avodas Hashem seems to be incomplete, to be lakui and lacking. But we have to remember that such feelings are really part of the divine scheme. They really mean success, not failure. Not to become discouraged, chas v'shalom, and despair from those feelings. On the contrary, to redouble our efforts to come close to Hashem, because that's what Hashem means when he distances himself, kaviyochol, to send the message. Please redouble your effort. And if that's a message from Hashem, that's part of divine compassion, we should never feel chas shalom any despair or despondency. It's all part of the divine plan, and it's all meant l'shem shamayim, in order to bring a person to greater and greater heights, to motivate him in his avodas Hashem, to continue and strive to ascend the mountain of Hashem and achieve greater goals in ruchnius, in spirituality. That's what we have to learn from this parsha. So today we learned two different things. Half the shiur we dedicated to Drachei Adachinoam, and the other half a shiur to understand the busha of Aaron, the kapara of the korban chatos for Aaron's sin, the insight of the fact that that this busha of Aaron represents the Noam Elimelech's principle that Hashem, even after you get close, will make it nireh beinecha, like it looks to you that there is a distance. He wrote some of his will that we'll be able to overcome all these chas v'shalom setbacks and not let them get the best of us, not to despair, but to continue to project ourselves forward in our avodas Hashem with a great deal of simcha to achieve tahara, the purity of the parasha of Parah Aduma, which in a Shalma Parmas Vaseinu is a replacement for the actual Tara of the Karma, of the Parah Aduma, and we should follow in the footsteps of the great Aaron HaKadosh, and we'll bring about Emir Sashem, the actual Parah Aduma, Bimheirav Yameinu Amen.